Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Together today we're going to be learning the first part of Care for One's Health. This is Siman Lamed Beis, the 32nd chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And the concepts that we're going to be looking at today are four basic concepts. The Torah law relating to physical upkeep, the digestion process, the types of healthy food, and types of timing for eating. Let's jump straight in. The background to this is the Torah tells us, Nishmartim o'ed l'nafsho seichem, you should be very careful for your souls. Technically speaking, this is a command to be spiritually sensitive, to not be dissuaded by spiritual perverted ideas. However, it is understood also to relate to the physical care that one needs to give to one's body as well, and that relates to the spirituality in the sense that the body is the vehicle to one's existence in this world, and if one is not careful about one's body, one will ultimately not be able to be careful about one's spirituality either as well. So let's do a few questions on this first section about the Torah law relating to physical upkeep. Question number one is, wait a second, why does Halacha have a say in this? This is all about what I do when I go to the doctor. What's this got to do with Halacha? So it's just important to realize that the body is a lease. One's body is not one's own to keep. One returns at the end, which is why one is not allowed to damage one's body. It's not one's to pierce or to tattoo. One's not allowed to do that. One's not allowed to end one's own life, right? God forbid. These are all things which give expression to the notion that this is a lease. One is lended the body to be able to use it in this world. One can only affect mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs, within the context of the physical. Even thought is through the synapses and the processes in the brain, which is done when a person's in the physical realm as well. And in order to be able to achieve that, one needs to take care of one's body. So first of all, so that it should be able to facilitate all the necessary avodas Hashem, the service of God in this world, but also because in the end of the day, one does return that lease as well. And therefore, this is actually part of an extension of the Torah and the mitzvot as well. Where does the Kitzur get all the information we're about to learn from? So the truth is, most of it he's taking from Maimonides, from the Rambam's Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam describes all this in Halacha as well. Which leads us to the next question is this accurate? So there have actually been many books which have been written on this topic. Just in the last two decades, just as an example, there's a book called The Health Directors of Maimonides by Rabbi Jonathan Rieti. There's another book called The Life Transforming Diet based on health and psychological principle of Maimonides by David Zilberg. But really, one should consult one's own doctor. But the principles are going to remain the same. Now, what about the health recommendations in the Gemara? The Gemara gives many health recommendations, and some of them seem very far out. The Tosfos and Mo'akot and Daf Yud Aleph from the Aleph tells us that clearly some of the processes that are mentioned in the Gemara, some of the interventions, some of the health ideas mentioned in the Gemara are not the ones that would be recommended today. Already Tosfos was speaking about this in the 12, 1300s. So how do we relate to that? So the Tosfos gives two observations. One is, it could be that the health recommendations were made in the area of Babylonia, and so therefore they were specific to the locale. But the other possibility is that nishtanu, things have changed, and therefore it's not applicable anymore. What does it mean things have changed? Easiest way of understanding this is that the Gemara were not professing to be the medical experts. The basic principle, the guiding principle is we need to be healthy and take precautions to live a healthy life and take the healthy interventions if necessary when the prevention is not working. Now, we go to the greatest medical and scientific experts of the time to be able to tell us what that looks like. At the times of the Gemara, the greatest scientific and medical information that was available to them, they consulted and they gave recommendations based on that. Happens to be that it's been outdated in many ways, that there are the medical recommendations today are somewhat different, in some cases the same, but there are some which are different. And therefore, it doesn't mean to say that the Gemara was wrong about the medical science. The Gemara was consulting the medical science of the time, so one has to consult the medical science of one's time as well. Of course, this is not to be said about everything in the Gemara. This is said about specific things which are in the realm of medical, and sometimes they have metaphysical understandings, which means say they have properties which are true in other ways. One has to be very careful about trying to understand this. But nonetheless, generally speaking, the Rambam does not paskin his Hilchos Deos based on what the Gemara is saying in many of the cases. He has his own, and the Maimonides himself was a physician. Many of the ideas and principles that he says are still true today as well. Are these commandments, meaning say, are these mitzvah, do they have the same level of regulation as a mitzvah? The Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein points out in Chosh Mishpat, the second chelik, in Tshuva Ayin Vav, the 76th responsa, that these cannot be considered commandments specifically, like each one in its own way, because there is a degree of subjectivity. Different people's constitution, different ability people, you know, you have some people who live life, you know, smoking cigarettes and eating red meat and drinking alcohol, and they live to 100, and there's other people who live a very healthy lifestyle. There isn't the way necessarily. So the precise applications are not necessarily going to be the same, but the general principles are advice which fall under the rubric of Nishmartem Oil Nafshasechem. Let's move to our second concept, and that is the digestion process. So a few basic things. Why is eating so important? So the Kisser points out that eating provides the energy for the body, which it uses to perform all the necessary tasks in living a godly life, not just for the sake of existence, to eat to exist, but rather to eat to perform a role which leads to meaning in this world. We take in food which contains energy, and the body breaks it down, digests it, and extracts the necessary nutrients for the different organs, and the waste is filtered and pushed out. This is the process which we refer to in our Shariyatza Bracha after a person uses the restroom. If the body did not digest, we would have no energy. If we don't filter or push out the weight necessarily, it would lead to pain and disease. And we can see this even just in a few hours, how much pain can be, if there's, God forbid, a blockage. So, second question, how does this the amount of food affect digestion? So Kitzer points out that if there's too much food, it creates suboptimal digestion, so therefore it's very important not to be eating too much as well. He points out that most diseases come from what one consumes as well, and for anybody who's trying to diet and live a better lifestyle, one knows that exercise is secondary to diet. Diet always comes first, and that's what the focus is over here. Number three, how much should a person be eating? So a person should be sensitive to their nature and eat less than full satiation. This is not an American culture necessarily. In France, as an example, people are much more sensitive and are able to eat enough smaller portions because they are aware of their biological needs. America has lost that sensitivity in general, and that's owing much in part to the advertising industry, which makes us want to feel hungry at every given moment of the day. But nonetheless, a person needs to regain that sensitivity as to how much one needs to be actually filled, not just because it's on the plate, not just because it's on the billboard. Now, the fourth question, how does this relate to speech? It's interesting that the Kitzur quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, which is what Shlomo Melech says, Shomer pir v'lushonai, shomer mitzaros nafshoi. A person who guards their mouth and their tongue will guard them from the evilness to their soul. This is understood to referring to both eating and bad speech, which is fascinating because it's connecting what one puts in and what one puts out of one's mouth, and the two don't necessarily seem to have any logical connection. However, it's worthwhile noticing, if you've ever watched somebody who's taken control of their life again, who's gone on a diet, who's now and lost a ton of pounds, and it's not just a flash in the pan that's going to return next month, but it's the person changed their lifestyle holistically and is now actually living a different life, you'll notice that they're actually quieter. They're generally quieter. And part of that is that they're more in control. Is that when you're in control of what goes in your mouth, when you feel like you're in control of your mouth, you don't feel like you need to speak all the time. People get quieter as they're in control of their lives because they have a certain innate gravitas as they feel that they're in control of their life once again. So next question. Does this depend on age? So the Kitzur points out that when a person's younger, one is hardier, their digestive tract is hardier, and they can take in more things, whereas when one is older, one has to be much more careful. However, of course, when one's younger, if one starts in bad habits, it can lead to proclivities later on, which are terribly negative as well. And let's say one is genetically predisposed to particular diseases, God forbid, and one creates an environment of bad eating and lots of sugar and lots of oil, then it could ultimately trigger some of those genetic markers, which otherwise would remain silent as well. Does this depend on age? So yes, that's what we just dealt with right now. Does this depend on temperature? So the Kitzur points out that during the winter, one needs to eat more than during the summer to keep one's body temperature up as well. How does one's activity look before eating? So the Kitzur points out that a person should be involved in some degree of physical activity before one eats. A walk, exercise, physical, getting the blood moving is actually a healthy thing. He takes a very interesting diok from the pasuk b'zeas apecha to'alecha, with the sweat of your brow you'll eat bread, and he points out that the a very fascinating. Ve'ekra pas lechem, and he points out that the word by Avraham Avinu, ve'ekra is the word, I'll take a little bit of bread, is the backwards acronym of the words hater chagora koidem achila, is loosen your belt before eating. So just a lot of interesting things that would be done, but the point is that one should have one's blood moving a little bit before one eats. How should one's activity look after eating? So one has, it's the opposite. One should not engage in extreme physical activity after eating, and I'm sure many people grew up in a way where they were told by their parents, you're not supposed to swim right after you eat. It leads to cramps, it could be dangerous, and that's something which many people are careful about as well. One should also not sleep right after eating, because one's digestive tract is working, and if one puts that into the slow mode, then it could create indigestion throughout the process as well. What position should one be in for eating? One should be sitting, that means not standing, and one should be leaning to one's left. As we know in Pesach, that's the safer area. That's also how the internal organs fall upon one another, when on the left is actually better than on the right. How does this all relate to the individual? So different people have different natures. Some are hot in nature, some are cold in nature, some are on the spectrum in between. One should eat, this suggests the kitzur, the opposite of one nature. Hotter foods for people who are generally cold, colder foods for people who are generally hot, and that's what people naturally find as well. How about the chewing? So the chewing is the first stage of the digestive process, breaks down the food. And if one does not do it enough, then it puts a lot more stress on one's stomach to do the digestion as well. This is something which, unfortunately, society has lost the process of understanding and appreciating. They're just trying to get more food onto their tongue without understanding that it's a slower process. It requires time. It requires not being involved in a million things or scrolling or on one's phone. Just chewing and digesting is very important as well. Let's move to concept number three, types of healthy food. Again, this is based on the ideas that the Kitzur has in front of him, and that is what's the best grain product? He talks about baked bread, not refined flour, and it contains bran. What is the best type of meat product? He points out that poultry is better than meat, especially chicken is good. And when it comes to red meats, which are not generally good, he points out that let's say mutton or the meat from young animals is better than old animals. What part of meat should I avoid? He points out it's best to avoid eating the head or the digestive tract of an animal, and so one should avoid eating the heart of an animal as well. What should be eaten first? So he said food which loosens the bowel should be eaten first, the hors d'oeuvres, or lighter food before heavier food as well, in order to sort of stage the digestive process and scaffold it in a way that is healthy. And finally, last concept is timing of eating. When should one be eating? One should be eating when one is hungry, not when one has an appetite. He actually uses those words. So one should be eating when one is hungry, not when one has an appetite. Having an appetite is passing a billboard on the highway, passing a donut store and saying, wouldn't it be good if, having that mid-afternoon snack the 13th time. That's not the way one should be eating. How many times a day should a person eat? The best is to eat two times a day. Sorry, Kellogg's and General Mills, but breakfast was invented later. One is supposed to be eating a lunch and a supper. Those are the two main mini meals that a person is supposed to have. If you notice in the Mediterranean diet, the main meal is lunch and the lighter meal is supper. In the American or the Western society, it's the other way around. It's the lesser meal is lunch and the bigger one is supper, which is actually worse for the digestive system because one's going to sleep oftentimes without full process of digestion. Nonetheless, what about weak or sicker people? So obviously they cannot eat necessarily full meals. They're supposed to eat smaller amounts throughout the day based on doctor recommendations. When are the meals supposed to be? So the meal is supposed to be on an empty stomach. So it says there should be at least 6 hours between the different meals in order to be ensure that one is eating and is filling a empty stomach as well. Is fasting a good thing? So the Kitzur points out something, which is, he says it's good to have a purge once a week to skip a meal. And skipping that meal would be, he recommends Erev Shabbos. So one's coming to Shabbos with an appetite as well. Of course, this is going to create anger at other people, like children. Children get very angry when they're hungry. So adults do the same thing. They just do it in a more sophisticated fashion. So if one is doing one gets angry on Erev Shabbos because of this, one shouldn't do that. But if one is able to skip a meal, this purge is actually good for the digestive process as well. And if you notice, this adds up. If you're going to be having two meals a day, you're not snacking continuously through IV, then you're actually, it's what's called intermittent fasting, which is actually a process that many people do. They take 8 hours, 6 hours in the day, and that time they're eating, the rest of the time they're not eating. And that actually turns out to be something, a great way to lose weight, but also to maintain a healthy diet. And one's appetite diminishes because one is actually feeding the body what it needs, not what the tongue wants or desires. With this, we conclude the first section of keeping a healthy body. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.